What's up, listeners? Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the In the End Zone podcast. Just a quick heads up, you can find this episode as well as some of our previous recordings on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. You can find us by searching at Settle Down Podcast on each of those platforms. Also, be sure to follow us on our social. We regularly post on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. You can find us by searching at Settle Down Media on all three of those sites. And finally, we have our own Instagram page, so you can look us up by searching In the End Zone on Instagram. Then you can stay tuned for all the new episodes and all the clips that you might be missing out on. So thanks for doing that, and have a great rest of your day. Enjoy the episode. Peace.
Yeah.
What's up, everybody?
What up?
Hello.
What are we doing? What are we doing? How we doing? How we feeling? Why we feeling? When we feeling?
You know, I'm traveling.
I was going to think of something else, but I couldn't figure it out. You're traveling again?
Where are we feeling? That's the W's. All the W's.
Wow.
Yeah, Keaton, wow. Where are we at, man?
That's where are we at today?
So this has been, I've been unemployed for quite some time now. So just been trying to, like, live life a little bit, expand the brain. So today I'm actually in a little town in California called East Oakland. Just on a camping trip, really trying to get like one with nature. It's just a really nice area, very peaceful. Sometimes I hear a lot of sounds, like it sounds like rocks hitting other rocks. I imagine there's other people like throwing things in the water, you know, maybe it's like other animals fighting.
I have a few questions. Okay. So I'm going to ask two questions here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So first question is, how'd you get out of North Korea? Second question is, we're around the area originally, all of us, right? And we're originally around the area of East Oakland. Not in East Oakland, but we know the area. Last I recall, I don't remember there being mountains and snow in East Oakland. Can you please explain both of those questions?
Yeah, so above me right there, you can actually see that is Mount Diablo.
And then this is the Altamont Pass right there. I didn't realize it was this close to San Ramon.
Well, see, I'm in this location in East Oakland near the Oakland Coliseum, and it's so okay. I mean, it's so open and so flat right there that you can kind of see everything. And Lake Oakland Day. So it's a Lake Oracle, actually.
Lake Las Vegas, Oakland Athletics.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Lake Oracle. That's the lake. You were asking about how I got out of North Korea. Pretty much the same way I got in. Took a train across the 34th parallel. Took a train from South Korea to Europe, and then from there was able just to pretty much fly out. And yeah, now we're traveling pretty again. Smooth. So, okay. Yeah, this is smooth.
Oh yeah,
no issues, no troubles.
Yeah. So initially there was a little bit of like confusion on why I was trying to leave the country. Same way that I came in, I actually flashed my media badge. Not only that, I had the Settle Down logo, and then I also gave him a few koozies. With the Settle Down logo on them and said, hey, you know, from me to you, right? Mi casa es su casa. They didn't really understand what I said. I realized I was speaking Spanish. But yeah, we got out of there really easy, smooth, you know, super smooth. So,
well, I'm glad, you know, you made it one piece, man. You know, you gave them the koozies, you know, so the support for Settle Down Media. And
you did your best.
And now you're in, from what it looks like to be most beautiful thing I've ever seen of East Oakland. So
yeah, that's probably like the nicest part.
Stan rocks again, man. What the
hell? Is that the rocks? Yeah.
Yes. I don't know why I keep hearing those. Ah, goodness gracious. Okay. I'm just going to ignore those. But Ant, how was your week?
It's been a very long week. Past few nights now, I've had to get up around 4:30 to 5:30 in the morning to go on scene to some fires. I actually just got back from a scene about an hour and a half ago, maybe an hour and a half ago. So pretty good. Pretty been tired, but overall it's been really good. A lot of learning experience and everything, getting all that down. I'm still waiting to get an email back from the CCAI conference about me taking the test to basically be, what is it called?
Certified.
Certified. Thank you. That was the word. Mm-hmm. To basically become certified.
June 20th, right?
What's that?
That would be June 20th, right?
It would be sometime, that's one of the dates, but I also know around that time I'm actually going back up to the Bay Area because there's an important class I do need to take, and I was lucky enough to actually grab a seat, and it's actually held in San Ramon. So, so I'm actually really excited for that. It's with one of the, it's actually with the president of the California Conference of Arson Investigators. He's the teacher for it. So I was super happy that I was able to get a seat in that class. So I'm very blessed for that, gaining more knowledge, and overall it's just going to help me a lot for the career path and everything. But over the all in all though, Keaton, it's going great. Just a little tired, but we're doing good. We're doing good overall.
Love to hear it. What about you, Zach? Brother.
Good, man. I went back home last Wednesday and I left with a little scratch in my throat. I'm like, you know, it's probably allergies, right? I spend the whole week around my sister who thought it was allergies too. She ends up getting sick. And I spend the whole week around my cat who I've never been allergic to. For some reason, the last two times I've gone back, really bad allergies. So I'm like, all right, like it can't be that bad, right? I go golfing. And honestly, I'm just kind of dealing with the allergies. I honestly did have a really good weekend. Shout out to Ashlyn. She's going to Chico State and she graduated from community college. So that was a lot of fun. Got to see family. But I came back home and I drove home. When was that? Was that yesterday? Yeah, I drove home yesterday on Tuesday and I got back. I'm like, dude, this is not normal. Or no, was it Monday? One of the 2 days. I can't remember. Like, this is not normal, right? My throat was fucking killing me. My ears were plugged. And so now I've been sick since. So if I sound like shit, I'm sorry, fellas. But other than that, it's going pretty well. Waiting to hear back from the job. They said they were going to reach back out to me hopefully this week. So waiting for that. Trying to work out through the sickness without getting others sick, but this one is a bit. I thought it really was just allergies, so I'm like, all right. Like the day that I got in, I went and hit a push day, and then today I was supposed to hit legs, and I'm like, dude, this is not allergies. Like this is an actual sickness. There's no way. So I stayed home like a good boy, and now we're here. Keaton, what about you? Besides moving to Oakland.
We'll just staying here for a few days. But
yeah.
Week's been good. Just finally getting over a sickness. Nothing too crazy. It is. And Zach and we started with the exact same thing. I had a sore throat. It's pretty much been about a week and a half now that I'm still dealing with it, but it's getting better. Pretty much nothing though. I had an interview with a credit union, went really well. So I'm hopeful I hear back Friday with some good news. So the day of this episode, hopefully I should have some good news. But yeah, things are on the up and up. Nothing, good nothing luck, too brother. Crazy. Just traveling. I appreciate it. Thank you. Let's go ahead and introduce the new intro. And let's just jump into the episode, man.
Yeah.
We got kind of a juicy one.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Green 18. Red 48. Settle down, settle down. Wide 80. Sit hunt.
We suck. We suck. Get rid of Belichick. Get rid of Mac Jones. Get rid of our entire fucking receiving core.
You guys are 2-8.
That's what I thought.
7-2-8. It doesn't matter. We still suck.
So Seahawks played the Ravens. Final score was 28-25. Geno Smith, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. Not really much to write home about that game. Just
right.
This is a
I don't think Jared Goff is a top 5 quarterback in the NFC.
Are you putting Justin Herbert over Jared Goff?
Yes.
It was like an interview for like a new podcast company. Called Brazzers. I mean, you could see I'm literally I'm in the headquarters right now, dude.
That's awesome. Shout out to Keith for making that.
Yeah, thank you.
We're gonna feel so much out though.
Yeah, the Schmidt and Schmout is a classic. That R.I.P. intro is so much better.
For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, In-N-Out. I got me some Schmidt and Schmout.
Schmidt and Schmout.
I love it.
In-N-Out.
Great.
I love it.
Well, that's our jam-packed, entertainment-filled first 10 minutes. That was a doozy of a 10-minute intro, so thanks for sticking around to listen to it all. Anyway, you know, we don't have a ton of, like, groundbreaking, holy shit, this just happened type news. So we had to dig around a little bit. And for those like myself who are Twitter users, Twitter regulars, if you're in the sports, you know, a little bit in the sports news, you might know an account with the username Dov Kleiman. So Dov is basically an Adam Schefter slash Shams Charania without all the backing. He's more like a rumor guy who sometimes makes these interesting posts that leave you a little head scratching as to how the hell this guy has amassed almost 300,000 followers with little to zero credibility. Yeah. It's like 290 and some change. So this was one of the, I actually, you know, crazy enough, I get a lot of my information. Like when I'm prepping for the podcast, I usually go through what he's posted for the week, because unlike Adam Schefter, this guy is a shit poster. He'll just post random stuff for like 20 times every single day, or six times out of the week. He's going to have something that's like, oh, this person got signed to a contract. Okay. Doable. Right. However, there has been some controversy surrounding Mark Davis, the Raiders owner, and a woman named Hayden Hopkins, who is 26 years old. Now, she is pregnant, so congratulations to her, whatever, don't care. But essentially, Dov did some quote-unquote research and concluded that this pregnancy is actually Mark Davis's kid, and I'll kind of show what the tweet was. Because this is really where everything started to go awry for the guy. congratulations, 26-year-old Hayden Hopkins, girlfriend of hashtag Raiders owner Mark Davis, is pregnant. Happy for the power couple. She immediately came out and was like, yeah, he is not the father. He's, I mean, like, I don't know where you're getting this. Yeah, I don't know where you're getting this information. Mark Davis like, was in the basically.
Crying.
Yeah. So then, you know, it starts going around about what is this guy's credibility like? Because he clearly posted to an impressionable audience like my, I mean, I definitely took a second look at it and I was like, damn, it is Mark Davis. I mean, Sage even brought that up. Like, why are these guys like that?
Yeah, I saw that as well.
Yeah. So he has now been in the question of whether his credibility is valid or not. Now, I'll tell you, there have been some times where he's made mistakes. That's what journalism is. You make mistakes, you build off it. Then it comes out from from Barstool Sports that they're doing a quote unquote investigation into whether or not his Twitter account is owned by him or if he sold it. Because over the last few months, within the last six, his Twitter page has become a lot more like
bullshit.
Patrick Mahomes pulls up to OTAs with a dad bod. Is he the fattest quarterback in the NFL? Or like, or is like Daniel Jones working out at OTAs? Is he bound for an MVP season? So he's been doing a lot of this like engagement farming clickbait, right? So I'm like, well, I skip past that. I don't give a shit. Then I saw this the other day, which is funny because it also got brought up in the Barstool investigation. Are you guys familiar with Baby Gronk?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Unfortunately. Yeah.
If there is by some stroke of luck that you are not familiar with Baby Gronk, don't start searching him up. I feel bad for the kid, whatever. Yeah. Essentially, he's just this kid who had 15 seconds of fame and his dad tried to capitalize on it and has basically just ran this kid's credibility and marketability into the mud. Anyway, so this was a recent post, and this is kind of the one that kicked off everything. I'll share my screen real quick. Baby Gronk is not a popular figure anymore. I just want to point this out here. He's like, doesn't really have, but it says Baby Gronk finally released his top 30. Where should he go?
Dude, he's like 10.
He's 10 years old, and there has literally not been a single provable instance in which Baby Gronk, who really is like a decent player but isn't going to be great, he hasn't gotten a single offer verbally or physically from any college, whether it's D3, D2, D1. So Dobbs starts posting stuff like that, and people are like, that's not a real, like, that's not just a natural post for, yeah, like, Adam Schefter would not post that, right?
Right.
The actual Baby Gronk account has, like, 10,000 followers, and it's ran by his dad, who just, I mean, it embarrasses the, it's awful. Yeah, but I mean, he'll post things like the hashtag Eagles are looking scary, and it's a video of Jalen Hurts doing squats, and is Super Bowl incoming? Or, you know, Patrick Mahomes is going viral as fans claim he is severely out of shape after returning from the offseason. Like, and he had to come out and be like, yeah, and he had to come out and be like, dude, did people not know that I never really had abs whatsoever?
What?
Like, it's not new. So he's just a guy that someone said one of the top responses to that was Dov Kleiman got a new ghostwriter this offseason because he has gotten elite at engagement farming. And then he put a little asterisk and he said, maybe multiple people, which would make sense that it's just,
It's like he's trying to be very controversial for, like, no reason, though. And the context that he's putting it in, it makes zero sense. And none of it's true, like, whatsoever. So it's almost like, it's just fake. Like, it's fake. Fake news, honestly. Like,
yeah, a lot of the argument against him is that he steals content. So he'll take the news from Adam Schefter. He'll take videos from, like, ESPN or like, official Giants new, you know, on Twitter, and then he'll put his own spin on it. I mean, I kind of see where they're coming from. There's definitely, there's people that are saying, his account has been sold. Like, he did sell it. That's why the engagement farming has gone up a lot. Then again,
I sold it to Antonio Brown.
Probably, dude. CTESPN, which, speaking of bankruptcy, we'll jump into a little bit of news.
No.
I was just going to say, speaking of Antonio Brown, who declared bankruptcy, if you guys didn't watch our last episode, we're going to jump into a little bit more bankruptcy controversy in later in the episode. So stay tuned for that. Mm-hmm. It's just that's the Dov Kleiman news. It's nothing too crazy. Like, the guy didn't kill anyone, right? But it's just, it's a little unethical what he's doing. And causing chaos. Let's jump into some,
which is kind of
So let's jump into some actual football news, like on the field matters. One of the big things, and I'll let you guys talk about this, but one of the big headlines is Tariq Cohen finally healthy after a slew of injuries stemming from 2019. He signed a 1-year deal to the Jets for an undisclosed amount of money. We'll probably find out later. Someone talk about this.
Zach, why don't you take this away? Why don't you take this away, Zach? Since you were kind of talking a little bit about this earlier.
Yeah. I think this is crazy. Honestly, I can't believe that he hasn't been signed since 2019, you said? Is that what it was? Let's see. Hold on. No, he played 2020. Since 2020, he hasn't been signed, but he hasn't played well since 2019 or played a lot since 2019. But in 2018, he had a Linsanity run, man. He went crazy. 2018 stats. Receptions, 71 receptions as a running back, 725 yards, 5 touchdowns. He had 411 receiving yards, and he also had 444 yards rushing the ball and 3 touchdowns. So he had 8 touchdowns and more than 1,000 overall yards. He was a beast in 2018, a beast. I remember I'm going to draft him, and I did a draft with my dad in 2019. I remember specifically we drafted him in 2019. I believe we did in the second round because of how valuable the receiving is for a running back, right? Mm-hmm. 2019, I'll read out his stats. 213 rushing yards, 0 touchdowns. And then he also had 456 yards receiving, 79 yards, 3 touchdowns. And he had 302 yards returning. So a little bit of a fall off. And then 2020, literally nothing. He had... Yeah. 3 games played, 6 receptions, 41 yards, 0 touchdowns, at least in the receiving department, 0 touchdowns in the rushing department, 74 yards rushing. He played 3 games, like I said. Mm-hmm. He returned 1 punt for 0 yards. I mean, dude, the fall off has to be studied.
Well, he's also been injured. After the 2018 season, he literally could not stay healthy. Yep. He had, like, the Rashad Penny. Now, I have always been high on Tariq Cohen. In 2018, I picked him up. First year fantasy, I took him like late round. And he ended up becoming a beast all year and led me to the championship, which, of course, I choked again. but yeah, I've always been a Tariq Cohen fan. But I agree. It's the fall off is pretty crazy. The question remains though, Zach, and I mean, you can just say definitively yes or no. You can give explanation, but he's now the third down back behind Israel Adonikanda. And then who's their main guy? Why am I drawing Breece a blank off. On him? Breece thank off. You. Thank you. And Breece, he's now the third guy on that roster. Do you think he can still be impactful as a 28-year-old coming off injuries, or is it just more a veteran sign?
I think it's a veteran sign for special teams. That would be my guess. Breece Hall is a beast.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And Tariq Cohen doesn't really fit that offense. They're not like an offense that dumps the ball off to a running back very often. And if they are going to, Breece is pretty good at that. I will say, though, I want to see him play because I think he had a crazy Linsanity run. And it sucks that he got injured. 2018 was wild, but I don't know, man. I think he still has a little juice in him. He is really small, though. That's the thing. And I think part of the reason why he was getting injured was because
he's tiny.
He was drafted. Yeah, he was drafted in 2017, 5'6", 180 pounds. I mean, it's not an ideal size for a running back that plays a lot. But, I mean, third and long down yardage situations, you could throw it to him, dump it to him. Maybe he's kind of a slot guy where you can get it to him or out of the backfield. You could throw it to him on maybe first downs to throw some people off. I don't know. He will be used a little bit, I think, if he's in shape. But to me, it's special teams. That's it. That's it. Especially with how stacked that team is, man.
I don't think he's going to do too much, honestly, in my opinion. Special teams, maybe here and there, right? But I mainly think it's going to be veteran status. I honestly think that, you know, as shitty as this sounds, right? But I think he kind of had that – 1 year hit wonder basically. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And which sucks. I mean, you never really want to see that of any player, right? You want to see players go as far as they can. Right. But I think he had that one golden year. And I think at that point, he's just kind of done at that point. Right. Also like the injuries, that's huge impact, especially for running backs. Like, especially if you're like, sorry, you're not CMC, right? CMC has had a lot of injuries happen to him. Right. But look at him still now. Like, he's a dog, right? Arguably the best running back right in the game, right? Mm-hmm. And
I don't know if that's arguable. I think he is.
Well, he is, right? But I'm just saying arguable, right? Just still.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Tariq Cohen just got sucked.
Right, yeah. And so I don't know. I think injuries just have a huge impact on it, I think.
Right.
And that's why I think he's going to stick with the veteran status. And I think he had that one golden year.
Yeah,
he's 28 though.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Still got a little bit of time.
I mean, he might have 2 years if he doesn't.
Yeah. Well, speaking a little bit of the on field stuff, wide receiver Nico Collins gets a big extension, 3 years, paying him roughly $70 million over that time. He'll earn close to an annual salary of about $25 million. And why don't you go ahead and just kind of explain some of the stats and is this a good sign for the Texans? I mean,
I think it's a great sign. Honestly, I love love the Texans offense right now. I absolutely love it. You combine Nico Collins right now with Tank Dell. Honestly, I love it. Like, and plus you got CJ Stroud out there now. Also very quick and fast team. I feel like absolutely 100%. Yes.
Oh, exactly. That's right. Yeah.
And Stephon Diggs as well. That's a fast team you have right there. Nico Collins is 24 years old. In his time right now in the NFL, he's got 15 games played. He has 80 catches. Well,
just last season.
Or last season, Mike. Excuse me. Thank you. 15 games played, 80 catches, 1,297 yards. He has a 73% catch rate success, and he has 8 touchdowns. Like, that's last season, boys. That's.
Mm-hmm. And he wasn't healthy all the way through.
He was not. He was not.
He's also massive. 6'4", 215. He's a big ass boy.
You combine that with Tank Dell, Stephon, you got CJ. My God, I'm sorry. Texans are dangerous. They are dangerous. Yeah, I think that's a great sign for Nico Collins, honestly. Good for him. Seriously, I think it's a great signing for him. And I'm excited to see what the Texans are going to do. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun watching them. They haven't had
a lot of the Texans.
Go for it.
Sorry.
Oh, okay. No, I was just going to say real quick that you know, we haven't really seen a whole lot out of the Texans. Like realistically, we haven't over throughout our lifetime. Right. And right, I'm really excited to see them play well and do well together as an organization and as a franchise right now. Right. Right, I think this is something, it's something new. It's different. It's a new team. We haven't seen succeed like at all. So I'm really excited for that, honestly.
Yeah. Right. Last year, we saw a little glimpse of it, but this year they should be really good. But I was going to say, you said 70 mil, right?
It's in the range of 70. It's not 70 on the flat. But I didn't want to get people shitting on me. Oh, you didn't do your backup. That's why I said roughly.
Yeah, if we say roughly, it's between 23 and 25 million, which, again, we saw something that was similar to that with Michael Pittman. There's a couple of wide receivers that we think are kind of, you know, B tier, maybe A tier, borderline pushing A tier. I don't think Nico is an A tier wide receiver yet.
He could be though.
I mean, that kind of takes us into our next story, and that's Juwan Jennings getting signed. Again, as a 49ers fan, I'm a little worried. I continue to get more worried the more days that go by. I'm gonna be honest. He signs a 2-year extension worth up to $15 million, but $10 million is guaranteed. So shout Juwan Jennings. Awesome player. If you guys haven't seen him, go watch him. He really is fun to watch. Third and Juwan is what we call him because he's Mr. Reliable, but
always consistent.
Dude, it's really worrisome. He's 26 years old, 15 games played last year, had 265 yards with 19 catches, a single touchdown, and a 58% catch rate. But most of that comes on third down. He's super clutch. This is the big one that's worrisome. If Nico gets paid 23, 24, 25, again, I called earlier in this offseason that Brandon Ayuk will probably get paid $25 million. Brandon Ayuk is borderline the top of the A tier. Like, he's almost S.
He's pushing S tier.
If there's 5 to 10 wide receivers that are S tier, he's in that high A, right?
Yeah.
Well, he comes out saying, I want a new contract that's worth the same amount as Amon-Ra. If you didn't see what Amon-Ra got, he got extended for 4 years and $120 million. Jamie, do
and actually,
math. Oh, Zach, 120 divided by 4, $30 million a year. He's not worth $30 million. It's insane.
Actually, he came out and he said he wanted to set the benchmark for the contract. So he wants more than what Amon-Ra St. Brown, which I understand. I think he's worth it. I think he's worth whatever he wants. The problem is, and I'll let you finish, Zach. I just wanted to say this. The problem is on Brandon's behalf is, I get it. You want to be a bag chaser, but this is the last year I truly believe that the Niners really have everything that they need to win a Super Bowl. We say this every year, but it truly makes the most amount of sense that by next year they're going to have some sort of regression. Whether or not they're still contenders, that's to be decided. Brandon Ayuk could just simply sign a smaller contract for a smaller amount of time. If he can build on what he did last year or stay consistent or even have some slight regression, he's still in the A tier of receivers. He's going to get a bag. So I think he's just not being a team guy right now, but to each his own, right? You're that good. You can be that
from last year. And it worries me because it's like the deeper we get into OTAs, the more chance the likelihood of him not playing is going to happen. And him not playing is huge. Him and Brock have had a great connection. And like I said, the deeper you get into OTAs, the more likely he's not going to play. And that's not what I want. But seeing Nico Collins, and no disrespect to Nico, I think he's great. I don't even know if he's wide receiver one there. Do I think he's a top 10 or top 20 wide receiver in the league? You can make an argument, maybe. Brandon Ayuk's top 10, and he just got paid. Yeah. And when I say Nico got paid 24, 25, whatever it is, you know? So Brandon's probably going to get paid between 25 and 30 million. If it's 30 million, sorry, Brandon, you're not worth it. Sorry. Especially on a team that's in win now mode. I'm sorry. You're not worth 30 mil. That's my conclusion with it.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
But shout out to Juwan, man. He deserves all of that.
Ant, do you have any final topics before we move on to a few smaller things?
I said it once and I'll say it again. This is the Niners' last year as Super Bowl contenders. I'm sticking with it. I've said this for 5 years now. And I said it after 5 years, they will no longer be Super Bowl contenders. And this year is the 5-year mark. I am sticking with it. And this is the last year that Niners will be Super Bowl contenders. After this year, they will strictly just be playoff contenders. I'm sticking with it.
That's what defines a Super Bowl contender, though?
I think a team
Super Bowl contender.
What?
I think any team.
Think Houston's a Super Bowl contender?
No, go ahead. Go ahead, Anna. I'm sorry.
I don't know yet. We haven't seen that really. I mean, they made it to well round playoffs last year.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Are you just saying a team that has the potential of winning it? Yes. Or like a top three team, basically. Like, would you say the Bengals are a Super Bowl contender?
No.
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 Okay, that's fair.
Right now, Super Bowl contenders, like Chiefs, Niners.
I would say
that's really it right now, though. That's a thing, right? Like,
yeah. I would say Lions are Super Bowl.
I would say
Lions. I would say Lions and Niners are the two Super Bowl contenders. And then you have NFC. Yeah, and then out of the AFC, I would go Chiefs, Texans. Like, I think it's the top two Ravens, teams in each.
Right.
Ravens, I don't know if I'm putting the Ravens up there, Bengals, man, with what they lost, with all the loss they had on defense. And the Bengals, man, I mean, we talked about this, three weeks ago? They can't stay healthy. And also, no T. Higgins, no Jamar Chase. At OTAs, they're both wanting contracts, so who knows what happens.
I'm fine with that statement. I agree. I think it's either this year or next year, but this year is definitely the year.
Yeah, this year is the most important.
You're being selfish, brother. $30 million is too much. And some part of me is thinking, do you think he's just saying it to get like $29 million? Like, if he's in the range of 27 to 30, is he really thinking 30 is the fucking benchmark? Because that would make him the highest paid wide receiver in the league. You ain't the highest paid wide receiver in the league, brother. You're not the best.
You set your price high, I negotiating, think that's right? And then they lower it down and be like, all right, fine.
He's high balling.
Yeah. At one point, Patrick Mahomes had the highest contract in all of sports history. And now he's kind of an afterthought because every quarterback's hitting the $500 million mark. So,
I mean, it's
or at least $50 million over a year. So it's not about who's the best. It's about what the market looks like now. And I'm sure 5 years from now, or in a few years when CeeDee Lamb's due for a contract, CeeDee Lamb will reset the market. Because you know he's Dallas next year. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's we'll see.
Crazy.
Yeah. I don't know.
Keep him. Get rid of Dak.
I agree. Well, here's some smaller news. Our last kind of bit of on-field stuff for now. Former Ravens defensive back and or safety, Tony Jefferson is planning on unretiring. His goal is to hopefully play for a team this season and actually contribute some success at the NFL level. So I'll give some stats. He's 32 years old. In 2022, he retired due to kind of a slew of injuries, but overall had a mid-career, you know, nothing stand out, nothing too crazy. Went undrafted when he went undrafted the year he got drafted, which was 2016, I want to say, right around there. Don't quote me on that. I don't have the stats pulled up. But in his career, he's had 4 total interceptions, 332 solo tackles, 8 forced fumbles, and he played a total of 99 games for 3 different teams. And those 3 teams were actually on the field. He had a few teams that he played as a practice squad player, but those don't really count. So nothing too crazy there. Nice. Shout out that flag. Nothing too crazy. He originally joined the Ravens organization for scouting opportunities, not for actual gameplay. And now he's hoping to make a comeback for that. Zach, do you think it's realistic that someone at that age with that kind of skill set could come back? Dude, is there a team?
2013.
Thank you.
So he played with Arizona from 2013 to 2016. Baltimore from 2017 to 2019. He played with the Niners. I forgot about that, but he was injured for most of it. And then 2021 played with Baltimore again, 2022 played with the Giants. But his first 6 seasons, he played at least 14 games played. The last 5 seasons that he played a combined total of roughly 20 games. So is he going to stay healthy? Probably not. But I will say when he was on that Ravens team, bro, they were elite. And he was elite too. They had some good quarterbacks and he played well with them. But I mean, to say that he's going to come back and have any impact, especially on a team like that, I don't think so. And is he even coming back with the Raiders or is he just the Ravens or is he just a free agent? He's just a free agent, right?
He's not still
signed with the Ravens, correct?
No.
I guess he would be with the Giants if it was 2022.
Yeah, yeah. I think he's a free agent at the moment. He's with the Ravens organization. I think he was trying to do like scouting for college. I couldn't really get a full gist of it. But yeah.
I don't see it.
Yeah. I don't know. It'll be tough. We'll be tough to retire like that.
Yeah, it's not gonna happen. Yeah. He's not gonna play well.
Well, Ant, talk about this a little bit if you're familiar with it. I'll introduce the topic, but Brandon McManus, kicker. Last year he played for the Jags. He's now with the Commanders, but he is being sued by two women for alleged sexual assault during his trip with the Jaguars when they went to London last year. This took place apparently on the flight and not the actual hotel stay that they were at. From everything I read, it sounds like it was actually on the plane to London.
Mm-hmm. What the hell?
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty crazy.
So he sexually assaulted someone on a plane. And when I say someone, two girls on a plane.
Essentially. Yeah. Yeah. Jesus. So I put a little cliff notes in there and well, that's kind of also involved in this. The Jacksonville Jaguars are also getting sued.
Oh, I see.
The reason the Jaguars are getting sued for this is because they basically didn't stop it in the time that it happened. And obviously there's two sides to every story, right? Like,
there are. So one side, actually, I can actually give out.
Go ahead.
McManus's attorney. These are absolutely fictionous and demonstrably false allegations made as a campaign to defame and disparage a talented and well-represented NFL player. And we intend to aggressively defend Brandon's rights and integrity and clear his name by showing what these claims truly are. An extortion attempt.
Is he going to be the new Deshaun Watson?
God.
Maybe. That's literally, it mentions that in the article that I linked about Deshaun Watson. And actually, right. It's funny that you bring that up because that's exactly what the lawyers representing the two women said. Our efforts at resolution were met with arrogance, ignorance, and stupidity, strikingly similar to how Deshaun Watson's team responded when we tried to resolve those cases pre-filing. So
that's so bad. He did not play with them. I'm tripping, but dude, no. Yeah. I mean, McManus has been a fucking solid kicker in the league for multiple years now, almost 10. Mm-hmm. He was with Denver for 8 years, 9 years. I mean, he was really good. Not a good look though, man. So I'm just confused how that even happens. Like, honestly, I want to know just their side of the story more.
So, like, real quick, how did you go off of
on a public plane?
Real quick to go off of what you're saying for how well he played, right? Like for the Jags, right? He made 30 of 37 field goal attempts and all 35 of his extra points attempts last season.
Yeah,
he's been solid.
I'm telling you, dude, he's been really good.
But I don't know though. Like,
I just don't understand how that happens on a public plane.
So I believe that there's multiple planes that fly out, right? You'll have your charter jets, whatever. From what I gathered, and summarized,
I shouldn't say public, but
of course. But still, yeah. So what I summarized is that the women explained that during the flight, McManus and several other teammates who are unnamed in this article, disregarded their personal space. And that McManus recruited three other flight attendants to a party and passed out $100 bills to encourage them to drink and dance inappropriately for him. Evidently, he also groped and grinded on some of the women and just touched them inappropriately, even without prior consent. So, not ideal.
I just looked it up as well, and it said that alcohol was involved.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Alcohol was, quote-unquote, definitely on the Jaguars plane. That is not good either.
That's a bad look because that's exactly what they said. So and he said,
go ahead.
No. Go ahead, Ant.
I was going to say that. Did you also mention that they're demanding this to be on jury trial as well? Did you mention that?
Yes. Okay. Yes. I thought I had summarized a bunch of things. I guess I didn't in this, but yeah, what they're asking for. Oh, yeah, I did. I said, importantly, they are seeking $1 million up to. Or more, but they are also demanding a jury trial. So they really want this to be publicized. Well, I mean, that's really not that bad because that's both the suit of McManus and the Jaguars. So really, they're necessarily in this for just monetizational gain. Yeah, right. Yeah. So, a jury trial would be important.
And based off of everything happening right now, allegations and everything, you know, sexual assault, all of that, right? This very, and suing in general, this very well could go into a jury trial. Like, jury trial is the biggest trial, right? So, right. Full of jurors everywhere, right? Watching this a lot more than your usual courtroom. So,
yeah,
this is pretty big, honestly. And it's pretty big. And honestly, just for how it is, like I said, the allegations and everything, very, like, would not cross, it wouldn't surprise me if it did go to jury trial. So,
just bad. Bad look for the Jaguars, bad look for McManus.
Yeah.
Let's hope it's not true.
Right.
Absolutely. Well, one of our huge last pieces of information, we have two more stories, but I'll try and make this one pretty quick.
Both these are huge, honestly.
Yes. So I mentioned earlier in the episode, if you guys are still with me, that we had another bankruptcy. Like, we had some other bankruptcy news. Shiloh Sanders, son of Deion Sanders, all-time Hall of Fame player in the NFL. He declared bankruptcy, and his hope was to avoid liability for a $12 million judgment by the Texas court system, in which he was accused back in 2015 of assaulting a school security guard at the Dallas high school that he was attending. So the person's last name is Darjean, and I will get his first name on there. But essentially what happened was there was some information about Shiloh Sanders skipping school, So Shiloh had reportedly been taken into in-school suspension for violating the school's no phone policy and called his mother. His mother at the time was Pilar Sanders. Now Deion was looped into the situation on the phone because they were divorced at the time. And, it's John Darjean is his name, by the way. Deion basically told, Darjean, the security guard, that, hey, take his phone away. Like, I don't want him interacting with his mom. Just, like, we'll handle this together as a family. And essentially what had happened was when Darjean attempted to take Shiloh's phone, Shiloh allegedly elbowed the security guard in the chest, knocked him to the ground. Now, Darjean sued in Texas court in 2016. The case went to trial in 2022. Shiloh obviously did not attend the court case, and it was ruled that he had committed assault and battery. He was ordered to pay $11.89 million. So it takes some time.
That's wild.
Now, what they said was the court finds that Shiloh Sanders' actions were proximate cause of John Darjean's injuries/damages. And the court further finds that Shiloh Sanders' actions were a substantial factor in bringing about the physical and mental injuries sustained by Darjean, without which such injuries and damages would not have occurred. The most important thing here, and this is why he's doing the bankruptcy thing, and this is kind of where the question is. So he filed for bankruptcy last October, but he only disclosed about $320,000 in assets, despite the fact that he's had a myriad of lucrative NIL opportunities. Now, the attorneys basically said, contrary to the schedules, Shiloh has admitted acquiring vast amounts of high-end and expensive clothing. They even pulled up an Instagram, he posted something on his YouTube channel and basically said, all right, we're at the Louis Vuitton store. I'm trying to spend at least $50,000 today. So he's clearly not, he clearly has money.
Daddy's got biggest, money too, bro.
Oh, big Daddy's time. Got a big lot time. Of it. So one of the biggest controversies now is whether he actually has all that money or what's going on. But one of the big arguments is that he has kind of he's looped into another business. And so Darjean also accused Shiloh of shielding NIL income through Big 21 LLC, which is a business that Shiloh owns. Now Shiloh's lawyer wrote, Shiloh is the honest but unfortunate debtor looking to get his fresh start in life, free from the oppressive burden of his debts, including the default judgment to the plaintiff. So he said he was acting in self-defense. I don't know. Lastly, before I move on. Yeah, this is essentially what had happened. What I seen was the student didn't want to give his phone. So the security guard kept asking for it. A witness statement filed by Shiloh's attorney. Then Darjean reached for it and Shiloh pushed the adult and Darjean began to push him and choked him. Shiloh was yelling, I can't breathe, and was crying and yelling. That's when the adults came over and pushed Darjean off Shiloh. So that is one of the witness testimonies to Shiloh's case. So it's a real thing. Anyway,
my God, man.
Pretty crazy, pretty huge news.
I'm not gonna lie. Hey, man, I don't want to be the one to judge, and especially judging a family. I don't want to be someone that's like that. But this offseason has kind of proved that the Sanders are not the greatest people.
God, they suck, man.
I'm sorry, dude. They're just not the greatest. I'm not trying to judge because everyone's going to be like, dude, why are you judging someone's character and not the way they play? He's a great player. Great player. But off the field, they're showing they're not the greatest people. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Like, I don't know, man. It's not ideal. Bad look for the Sanders family. Also, just the idea that he can declare bankruptcy and only declare a certain amount because he has it locked up into another business is also shady on the NCAA So I'm sure something will come of that. We'll keep you updated as we go along. Our last story of the day is some huge news as well. Anthony, go ahead and lead us off. Finish us off for it.
So first off, are the Kansas City Chiefs becoming are they becoming the new Raiders?
Mm-hmm.
Dude,
Let me start off.
They're winning.
They're the long. They are winning. They're the team from the longest yard.
Yeah.
let me just start off from the beginning. All right. So first, Patrick Mahomes' brother, you know, gets arrested. Then we have Patrick Mahomes' dad getting arrested for a second time. Then we have Rashee Rice thinking he's in Speed Racer. Then we have Harrison Butker's controversial speech. And now we have Chiefs defensive end Isaiah Buggs, who was just traded to the Chiefs in February of 2024. So just a few months ago, he's been accused of animal cruelty in Tuscaloosa after one of his dogs was reportedly found chained up with no access to food or water, surrounded by feces. The petition said both animals were seized on March 28th due to both dogs being severely malnourished and neglected.
Fuck you, Isaiah Buggs. Fuck you.
Yeah, you suck, bro. You suck. Dude, you piece of shit.
You suck.
Honestly, you belong in jail. I'm sorry. Fuck you. Literally the worst. Go back to Detroit. Be thrown in a jail cell. I don't care. Fuck you. That's the one thing that I don't fuck with. One thing. You don't fuck with animals. You don't fuck with them. Rashee Rice, like, I understand. He's just being an idiot. For someone to fuck with an animal to the point where it's like animal cruelty, you are a fucked up human being. You fucking suck. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, Vic got criticism. Isaiah's going to get worse criticism because it's a little bit different when you know your dog fighting, because that's kind of a common thing for people. Mm-hmm. Not too common, right? But that is a thing. Just leaving a dog chained up with no nothing just because, you suck, man.
Wrong with you, dude.
You suck, bro.
Yeah.
It's not even good either. He's not even good. That's the thing. Like, Vic got away with it a little bit because he's generational. Isaiah Buggs, you sound like a horrible Bugs Life character. Go into a movie or something.
So right now there's also, I read that, where did I have it? I saw it somewhere. Yeah, so right now he's got two misdemeanor warrants. So it's two misdemeanor warrants have been filed against him as of now. Good. For charges of cruelty and everything and animal abuse.
He deserves it.
Yeah.
He deserves it.
Oh, and he's 27 years old as well.
Might have just fucked up his career.
Prick.
And honestly, fuck him. I hope he did.
Yep. I agree.
We don't support that shit. Hell no.
No, we don't.
No, we do not.
Well, look, that's our episode. We went a few minutes over time. But that's our episode, man. It was a good episode. Energetic, quick, you know.
Long intro.
Yeah. Long intro, just like,
I'm glad that we can get you out of here before the sun sets, because it gets dangerous over there, man.
It does.
That lake, I've heard lots of bears. I mean, I think, like, yeah, I was about to say, I think actually the during the fucking pod, I heard a couple of rocks too, just out in the distance. Yeah,
yeah, it's been
it gets scary.
It's been a good episode. much like Will Levis, this has been a very energetic episode, very long episode. It's a lot of quick, I don't know where I was gonna go with that. Just a lot of quick movements, very fast. Anyway, whatever.
Yeah.
Shout out Will Levis, hog haver, pretty much. But that's our episode.
That is our episode.
Yeah.
Canon above and below the waist, man. That's all I'll say. Yeah.
Goodness gracious. God, what I wouldn't give for a fourth of that. All right. Well, that's our episode.
Please like and subscribe. We'll see y'all next week.
Deuces.